Good afternoon, this is Tamara, reading the Rantoul Press for the week of February 6th. We'll start with some local news. Volunteers are needed for piecemeal delivery. The piecemeal program in Rantoul needs volunteers to deliver hot meals to people in the community. It takes about 90 to 120 minutes to deliver a route. Volunteers are needed for 1, 2, or 5 days a week. Contact Shana at Wabash Avenue Kitchen in Rantoul for more information at 217-893-8822. Rantoul VFW employee charged with stealing funds. A 75-year-old Rantoul woman has been issued a notice to appear in court February 28th for allegedly stealing money over several years from the Rantoul VFW. Brenda Davis-Wise of the 1000 block of Ruth Crane Drive served as the bar manager of the veterans organization. Rantoul Police Sergeant Rodney Sullivan said the Champaign County State's Attorney's Office will review police reports for the appropriate charges against Davis-Wise. Sullivan said Davis-Wise would take money from various sources within the VFW. Some she would repay, Sullivan said. Large amounts she would not repay. He said Davis-Wise, who has been working for the VFW for about 20 years, allegedly stole money from the group for several years. When VFW officials suspected money was missing, they contracted to have a forensic accountant to conduct an audit. Investigation into the thefts has been ongoing since June. Sullivan said it has yet to be determined how much Davis-Wise allegedly stole. Information sought on Verizon armed robbery. From Rantoul. Champaign County Crime Stoppers is seeking assistance from the public regarding an armed robbery in Rantoul. A male entered the Verizon store at 322 East Champaign Avenue, Rantoul, about 11:25 a.m. Saturday, January 18th, displayed a handgun and directed an employee to the storage room. The man forced the employee to open the safe and place the contents into a bag. The suspect fled the business on foot with numerous iPhones, iPads, and Samsung Galaxy phones. The suspect was described as a black male, 5 feet 10 inches tall, wearing a blue jacket with a hood up and a scarf over his face and dark-colored pants. He was last seen walking east in the alley behind the business. Investigators are seeking the public's help identifying the robber, whose image was captured on video. Anyone with information is asked to contact Crime Stoppers at 217-373-TIPS, 373tips.com, or via the P3Tips mobile app. Crime Stoppers is also seeking the whereabouts of Alan P. Mickle, 26, whose last known address was 1033 Englewood Drive, Rantoul. He is a black male, 26 years old, 5'8", 160 pounds, with black hair and brown eyes. Mickle is wanted on 2 counts of failure to appear for theft and 1 failure to appear for theft more than $500. Bond on the first 2 charges is $5,000 and on the third is $50,000. Tipsters are 100% anonymous when contacting Crime Stoppers. All tips submitted are electronically stripped of any personally identifying information and processed by a third-party answering service, not law enforcement. Cash rewards of up to $1,000 are paid on tips received through Crime Stoppers for information leading to arrest. Tipsters will never be asked their name and are given a secret code number to use when checking on a possible reward. Many older boys and girls still like to play with toys. From Paxton. I'm 60, but I still play with toys. Rural Rankin farmer Chris Elliott isn't alone. A lot of people like playing with and collecting farm toys, as seen at Saturday's Paxton Buckley Loda FFA Farm Toy Show. It marked the 32nd consecutive year for the event, and as always, the gymnasium and stage area were full of farm toy items and farm displays. Elliott, who began farming on his own in 1980, has been to every farm toy show at Paxton since. His family likes to come along as well. His wife Janet and their 2 sons were also on hand. They had a display of John Deere farm toys in the gym. Elliott, who farms in Ford, Champaign, and Vermilion counties, isn't in it for the money. You will not make money selling farm toys, Elliott said. The satisfaction of coming to the shows is the people. The friendships by far outweigh anything, Elliott said. The people you meet are fantastic. watching the kids grow up, and they come back 10 years later, and you remember when they helped you carry your toys in, and you see them in Champaign. Hey, I know you. Kristen Wyatt, who was with Mike White, serves as FFA advisor and ag teacher at PBL, said the students and alumni staged the show. She said she and White act as liaisons. Getting the FFA students, there are 90 of them at PBL, involved is a learning tool. It gives them an opportunity to work with adults as well as helping them to build on their leadership skills for when they leave high school, Wyatt said. The show averages between 400 and 600 visitors each year. Laura Proctor and her committee of alumni members help with the concession stand. Another of the active alumni is resident Jim Biggs, who gets in contact with the dealers to notify them about the show and see if they need anything. Biggs said the show averages a little more than 30 dealers. 36 dealers turned out for Saturday's show, possibly due to a mild forecast. We usually sell over 100 tables, Biggs said. One dealer booked 6 tables. In addition to the sales and display tables, there are tables holding silent auction items. A lot of individuals sell on that, Biggs said. They pay a fee to have their items put on the silent auction. Most of the dealers hail from central Illinois, although some come from western Illinois, Indiana, and the Chicago area. Biggs has more than a passing interest in farm toys. He has collected them for years and focuses on the era when he was in high school, 1962 to 64. He tends to go green, primarily collecting John Deere with some Oliver toys. For Elliot, collecting isn't what it used to be. He got hooked in 1979 after he attended a show in Rantoul. Back in those days, you could just get in your pickup and drive around to local dealers and still find old stuff on the shelf, Elliot said. We drove all over Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa, but those days are gone. You can't anymore. It's been picked through and many of the dealers are gone. Elliot said at one time Paxton had 4 farm implement dealers. Now it has none. That makes it more difficult to find vintage toys. Elliot displays his farm toys at 3 shows, PBL, Effingham, and Winnemac, Indiana. He said the PBL show is his favorite. The people and the alumni group, the parents come back and are interested in the kids today. They're what make it special, Elliot said. Former advisor Doug Anderson, how that bunch helped those guys. Boy, I admire that. That's hard to come by. They're good people. Mr. White and Kirsten Wyatt. When PBL calls, we help them. Bismarck resident Tyler Steinbaugh was among those with a farm display at the show. His display was titled Mississippi River Grain Terminals. Steinbaugh is following in the footsteps of his grandfather, who also likes to build farm displays. He said he was interested in the subject of the display because I've never seen one. Half of Steinbaugh's display was purchased off the internet, but he modeled the office and the coffee shop from Bismarck, where a character he knew used to visit regularly and play cards. Nearby sat a farmall tractor like the one that an area farmer regularly parked there prior to cutting hay. It marked the 9th or 10th PBL show for Steinbaugh. One of those on hand to rub shoulders with showgoers was Kelly Berkey. Berkey and his 3 brothers started the International Harvester Farm Implement Dealership in Paxton back in the 60s. Berkey is long retired and the store is long gone, but he continues to stay involved. His wife Minerva accompanied him to Saturday's show with his customary red International Harvester farm toys. I've been in Paxton since 71 with all these Swedes, but they haven't made a Swede out of me. I'm still German, Berkey quipped. The 91-year-old has been displaying since the first show opened. Last year he bought some John Deere toys at a garage sale, and he said he got teased about it so much that he sold them. He used to have a room full of farm toys. He also collected antique farm equipment, restoring some of it, including corn pickers, combines, and the like, but has gotten rid of all that except Cub Cadets. I've really enjoyed it, Berkey said. The thing is, you meet so many good people. I've always said I've been fortunate to sell farm machinery all my life to American farmers. Basically good, honest people. Rantoul officials have mulled full-time fire department, but cost would be too high. For more than 30 years, the small Piatt County village of Bement employed a rare arrangement for its fire department, a full-time fire chief. The late Steve Rittenhouse worked a shift of 24 hours on, 24 hours off, living at the firehouse during his on hours. He also worked a township job, current fire chief Tony Price said. He was paid an annual salary of about $36,000 by the Fire Protection District. In earlier years, Bement also employed several firefighters on a part-time basis, so the firehouse was permanently staffed. Such an arrangement is rare in Illinois. Some larger towns employ a combination full-time chief and volunteer department, or an all-full-time department, or, like area communities including Paxton and Rantoul, an all-volunteer department. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, Paxton Mayor Bill Ingold said of his town's department, headed by Fire Chief Denny Kingren. Ingold said there has been no discussion of changing from the all-volunteer arrangement in the Ford County community of about 4,200. It would be too expensive, he said. In nearby Rantoul, population 12,769, the subject has been discussed but never advanced very far for the same reason, the cost. Mayor Chuck Smith said he remembers the topic being discussed in the late 1990s when he was a member of the village board. There has been discussion in the past on many levels, Smith said. We ran the economic numbers versus our budget. At that time, it wasn't feasible to do. With a small town like this, that's an ongoing cost, and we've had budget issues for many, many years, and it's not feasible for us. He said he and former village administrator Jeff Feigenshue also kicked around the idea of a full-time fire chief, which he said is probably more doable than having a full-time fire department. The benefit of a full-time chief, Smith said, is to make sure we are having everything in order when we have a fire, or to meet the demands of working with other communities under mutual aid. Smith said being a full-time chief probably wouldn't be for everyone. Even though Rantoul Fire Chief Kenny Waters is doing a great job, I don't think he would want his job to be full-time chief, Smith said. But having at least a few full-time fire staff on the village payroll might be advantageous in the future, especially if Rantoul grows. We're not there yet, Smith said. Our growth hasn't been the growth we would like to see happen. With construction of a sports complex and resulting economic growth, we might be able to balance that between full-time and part-time. The next big expense for Rantoul is likely to be the purchase of a large ladder truck. Rantoul's 75-foot ladder truck would not be able to handle a fire in an upper floor of the Holiday Inn Express, for example. Waters said he doesn't think a change to a full-time department will happen anytime soon. Not unless the village has an extra $4 million, he said. Rantoul's arrangement is different than Paxton's. Rantoul pays for the department facilities upkeep, equipment, and firefighter pay, whereas Paxton's fire district pays for its costs. Rantoul firemen are paid for calls they answer, and if they attend the department's two training sessions a month. Former Rantoul Mayor Katie Potagrossi said, while she doesn't remember the topic of a full-time department or chief coming up formally before the village board, she did research the topic once. She said the volunteer department has done such a good job that changing the setup was not imperative. Also, I found that many much larger cities across the country operated much like we did, Potagrossi said. Being a fireman in Rantoul was like belonging to a special elite fraternity. I wonder if some of the camaraderie might be lost with drastic changes. Kingren, who has been Paxton Fire Chief since 2002, said every state seems to handle fire department staffing differently. He said when he and his wife were visiting her parents in Oklahoma, he learned that most of that state's fire departments have full-time paid chiefs, plus a few other full-time firefighters with volunteers comprising the rest of the department. He said Mahomet and Savoy also have full-time chiefs. He doesn't look for the system to change in towns like Paxton, with its 32 firefighter department, unless something fails. Paxton and Rantoul, on occasion, respond to each other's fires, calls via mutual aid. For a massive fire in the 100 block of South Tanner Street in Rantoul on New Year's Day, Paxton was called in to assist with its 105-foot ladder truck. Kingren said he believes Paxton's department runs well, but he said he can see where having a full-time chief would be an asset to allow somebody to make a little bit better documentation of what needs to be done. Kingren said being a firefighter takes an understanding spouse. Firefighters, fire chiefs even more so, are gone a lot. He estimates he puts in about 20 hours a week with the department in addition to his full-time job. It plays a little bit of havoc on a marriage because you care so much about it, said Kingren, who has been with the Paxton Department since 1973. Kingren said Paxton fire volunteers are paid by the district, which gives the leaders a certain amount to divide among the firefighters. Ours is divided according to activities and fires that are attended, he said. The penalty money is then used for what the department needs, foods and drinks, etc. Engel said the Paxton firefighters do a terrific job here in town. Everything the firefighters do is a community effort. They built their own building, they helped to get their own trucks, and it's all volunteer. There's 32 men and women who are a terrific benefit to Paxton and the surrounding area, Ingold said. Bement Chief Price said most people wouldn't have been willing to handle the work arrangement that Mr. Rittenhouse did. A spouse likely wouldn't have cared for Price spending 24 hours at the firehouse and then 24 hours at home. He told me once it's a solitary job, Price said. After Mr. Rittenhouse died about 5 years ago, the Bement District trustees opted to go to an all-volunteer department. Until the 80s, the district also employed a few paid firefighters, but ended that when the state of Illinois said the district also had to provide benefits, which the district couldn't afford, Price said. The pluses of a paid staff is you've got someone always at the station, Price said. When there's a call, the chief can immediately get in the truck or EMS vehicle and go. Not only that, the tornado siren, which is located there at the fire department, he can always be available to do that. It will be a lot faster response. Price sees the benefit of a full-time chief. During the day, Bement is basically a bedroom community, he said. During the day, you'll be lucky to get one person to respond to a call, so we call mutual aid. On any fire, we have automatic mutual aid with Ivesdale. Piatt County ambulance calls are answered by Kirby Hospital, Monticello, but because it can take some time to get to rural calls, each town's fire department also has a staff of fire responders. Honor roll for the second quarter released at Eater Junior High School. High honor roll, Cassandra Simmons, Emma Keenan, Geraldine Bagtus, Caitlin Graham, Takaria Brown, and Zoe Reichenbach. Honor roll, Adrian Tolan, Anata Brown, Anna Perez, Ataya Hildebrand, Ava Haltewanger, Benjamin Hoodspath, and Braden Caspers. Also, Brittany Navarrete Ramirez, Christian Thompson, Cody Brundage, Danielle Carlson, Elizabeth Deer, Gamina Oliver, Harlan Cuppernell, Jarnisha Carter, Kendall Rogers, Lashea Harper, Natalie Smith, and Nathaniel Swisher. Also, Noah Adams, Noelia Spencer, Olivia Dabuski, Osmar Baltazar, Pascaline Fongo, Piper Hall, River Strebeck Burke, Sherlyn Melendez Arazo, Sierra Chipman, Skylar Mills, and Trayvon Lattimore. Farm forecast wetter than normal. From Springfield. The state's climatologist is predicting Illinois farmers are likely to endure more burdensomely wet weather while they try to plant cash crops this spring, after suffering major losses as a result of a record wet planting season last year. April through June is likely to be wetter than normal in Illinois, according to rainfall projections from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, posing a challenge to corn and soybean farmers in the heart of planting season. Right now, those farmers are calculating their losses after suffering through the wettest January to June in state history last year. The wettest of those months was May, which pushed planting of Illinois' top two crops into June and July, when in an ideal year they can be in the ground in April. The result, corn and soybean production dropped 18% and 20% respectively, according to final yield numbers from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Farmers should expect to deal with an increased frequency of wet winters in spring, said Illinois State climatologist Dr. Trent Ford, who expects wetter-than-normal conditions to become routine. After last weekend's rainstorms, Ford said all but far northwest Illinois has had above-average January precipitation, with half the month still to go. NOAA also projects a wetter-than-average February and March. The last couple of decades especially, we've seen our winters be wetter than previous decades, Ford said. That doesn't mean more snow necessarily, it just means overall more precipitation. For example, he says 20 of the past 25 winters in Peoria have been wetter than the city's 120-plus-year average. Preparing for wetter-than-normal conditions to be more common or happen more frequently is something that Illinois farmers should be doing in Illinois, Ford said. We'll turn now to the death notices for the week. Carl Fred Aldridge, 84, of Paxton, brother of a Rand Hill resident, died January 27th at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton, senior living. Memorials may be made to Harbor Light Hospice of Illinois. His guest book may be signed at coxknapp.com. Funeral services were held January 30th at Cox Knapp Funeral Home, Paxton. Maxine D. Anderson, 88, of Paxton, died January 27th at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton Senior Living. Funeral services were held January 30th at Bayer Family Funeral Services, Pell's Street, Paxton, and burial followed in Glen Cemetery, Paxton. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Condolences may be offered at BayerFuneralServices.com. Daryl Thompson of Champaign, brother of a Rand Hill resident, died January 18th. A celebration of life was held January 31st at Salem Baptist Church, Champaign. Burial followed in Woodlawn Cemetery. David Gentry, 70, of Potomac, died January 30th at VA Ileana Healthcare System, Danville. According to his wishes, cremation rites will be accorded, and there will be a service held at a later date. Memories or condolences may be posted on his everlasting memorial page at blurtonfuneralhomes.com. Darlene Tony Zook, 62, of Paxton, died January 29th at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. A visitation was held February 2nd at Cox Knapp Funeral Home, Paxton. Memorials may be made to family wishes. Darlene Wren, 84, of Danville, died February 3rd at Hawthorne Inn, Danville. A celebration of her life will be at noon, February 7th, at Blurton Funeral Home, Potomac. Burial will follow in Potomac Cemetery. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon Friday at the funeral home. Memorials may be made to the donor's choice. Memories or condolences may be posted on her memorial page at blurtonfuneralhomes.com. Barbara Fleming Little, 87, of Penfield, died February 5th at Country Healthcare and Rehab, Gifford. Funeral services will be at 10:30 a.m. Saturday, February 9th, at St. Lawrence Church, Penfield. Burial will follow in St. Lawrence Cemetery. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday at Lux Memorial Chapel, 1551 East Grove Avenue, Rantoul. Memorials may be made to either her church or the Henry J. Smith Trust Fund. This concludes the reading of the death notices for the week, and now we'll return and finish with local news. Tuskegee Airmen recognized by Trump had post-war training at Chanute. Rantoul's Chanute Air Force Base is known as the first home of the Tuskegee Airmen, the decorated all-black group of fighter pilots who distinguished themselves in combat during World War II. Traffic signs along highways entering Champaign County announce it as such. Only 8 members of the Fighting Corps are still alive, including Brigadier Charles E. McGee. This week has been a whirlwind for McGee, who did post-war training at Chanute. He was one of 4 100-year-old military veterans who took part in the coin toss for Sunday's Super Bowl in Miami, and on Tuesday stepped into the Oval Office at the White House, where President Donald Trump promoted him to Brigadier General. At first I would say, wow, but looking back, it would have been nice to have had that during active duty, but it didn't happen that way, McGee said. But still, the recognition of what was accomplished, certainly. I am pleased and proud to receive that recognition, and hopefully it will help carry on as we try to motivate our youth in aviation and space career opportunities. That evening, Trump recognized McGee during the State of the Union address. "General McGee, our nation salutes you. Thank you, sir," Trump said. McGee has a number of ties to Champaign County. Mark Hansen, who was curator of the former Chanute Air Force Museum, said McGee trained at Chanute in 1948 when he took a 10-month course on aircraft maintenance. "He would have been someone who, I believe, would have supervised the guys who were working on the airplane," said Hansen, who met McGee years later when he visited the Air Museum and was struck by his friendly personality. While the Tuskegee Airmen did start at Chanute with training of support personnel in mechanics, communications, armament, engineering, and officer corps, the Army later opted to have the black pilots trained near the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. Prior to that, the conventional wisdom was that blacks would take longer to train than their white counterparts in technical jobs. It turns out it took them less time than the whites to become mechanics. It led to many becoming pilots. McGee was one of them. The Bethesda, Maryland resident, an engineering major at the University of Illinois, turned 22 on the day the United States entered World War II. He left for Alabama 11 months later to train with a group of Army Corps cadets who would become the first black fighter pilots in the country. At the University of Illinois, McGee was a member of the Army ROTC, the Pershing Rifles Drill Team, and the Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity. He met his future wife, Frances, who was a native of Champaign, at the U of I. McGee served in a number of leadership roles. He became base operations officer at Clark Field in the Philippines. After graduating from the Air Command and Staff College at Maxwell Air Force Base in Alabama, McGee was promoted to lieutenant colonel at Richards Gebauer Air Base in Kansas City, Missouri. He commanded the 7230 support squadron, which ended up in Italy supporting the Jupiter missile program, then returned to headquarters. During the Korean War, McGee served with the 67th Fighter Bomber Squadron and flew 100 combat missions. He led the 16th Tactical Reconnaissance Squadron during the Vietnam War and flew 173 missions. In 1972, he became commander of the Richards Gebauer. McGee returned to college following his military retirement and earned a degree in business administration from Columbia College in 1978. He served in a variety of civilian roles, including as Kansas City's downtown airport manager. He also served in leadership posts in several organizations he supported, including the Boy Scouts. McGee, who retired in 1973 as a colonel, had a military career that reached across three decades. He flew 409 combat missions during World War II, Korean War, and Vietnam War. He was presented the Distinguished Flying Cross, Legion of Merit, Bronze Star, Air Medal, and the Presidential Unit Citation while serving. In 2007, former President George W. Bush presented McGee the Congressional Gold Medal, and in 2011 he was enshrined in the National Aviation Hall of Fame. Last year, McGee served as Grand Marshal of the Champaign County Freedom Celebration Parade. He was in Champaign to attend a family reunion. Pumpkin launching event won't return to Rantoul. Members of the World Championship Pumpkin Chunkin' Association have voted not to return this year's championship to the Rantoul National Aviation Center. President Frank Payton said the majority of the members wanted to look for a location closer to the East Coast where the event was founded and held for years. This has been Tamara reading the Rantoul Press. I hope to read with you again soon. Have a great day.